Piper Aircraft announces new layoffs. Eurocopter unveils its own technology demonstrator. And Boeing's new Dreamliner plant is taking shape. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, September 29th, 2010. The Vero Beach News Journal reports that Piper Aircraft CEO Jeffrey Berger sent a letter to employees Monday announcing a layoff of 6% of the company's workforce, or about 60 people, most in the manufacturing sector. Berger says the company remains challenged by overall market weakness and that a forecast of 200 aircraft sales for the year was being overly optimistic. In June, that forecast was cut to 162, and Berger says the market has, quote, continued to demonstrate little or no tangible signs of recovery, unquote. There will be about 830 employees left at Piper after this layoff, some of whom were recently hired to work on the Piper Jet program. Take that, Sikorsky! Eurocopter has unveiled a project which was pretty successfully kept secret until the last minute. EC calls its development platform the X3 and says the demonstrator made its first flight on September 6th. Unlike Sikorsky's X2, which uses rigid coaxial rotors and a pusher prop to reach speeds as high as 250 knots so far, the X3 uses wings to allow partial unloading of the rotors in high-speed flight and mounts two turboshaft engines driving props, one under each wing, airplane style. Both the X2 and the X3 blur the strictest definition of the helicopter in a quest for more speed. Eurocopter says its goals for the X3 include testing at 180 knots by the end of the year and 220 knots next year. Boeing says the steel framework for its new 787 Dreamliner final assembly building in South Carolina has been completed and recognized the milestone with a special topping out ceremony that included B.E.K. Turner, the builder. The final piece of steel was put into place on a million-plus square foot structure less than a year after the groundbreaking in November of 2009. Marco Cavazzoni, VP and GM of 787 Final Assembly and Delivery, observed, quote, "By this time next year, the final assembly building will be complete, and we will have begun production of the first South Carolina-built 787 Dreamliner. That is tremendous, from greenfield site to airplane production in about 18 months. The support we've received and continue to receive from our South Carolina partners and suppliers, as well as the state and local community, is amazing, and is one of the main reasons we've been able to reach these significant milestones in such a short time frame," unquote. When announcing the siting of the plant, Boeing made it clear it would have its own supplier network, independent of its assembly facility in Washington State, to provide maximum redundancy to guard against a variety of issues which might close a plant, including labor disputes. Up next on ANN, Fifi returns in time for CAF's big show. American Airlines pulls out of Platte County, and Brazil clears the DFC-90 for Cirrus owners. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piper Jet.
Piper Sport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 29th. I'm Paul Plack. The Commemorative Air Force said Monday that Fifi, the world's only flyable B-29 Superfortress, has returned to the skies in time for the 2010 CAF Air Show, October 9th and 10th at Midland International Airport in Texas. Following an extensive re-engining project, Fifi took her first flight on August 6th, but experienced a distributor malfunction in engine number 2 that resulted in pre-ignition damaging some of the cylinders. The engine was removed and shipped to Anderson Aeromotive for repairs. The engine was returned to the CAF and tested before the aircraft returned to flight on Friday. CAF President Stephen Brown promises, quote, "There are many years ahead of Fifi for touring the country and telling the stories of the men and women who sacrificed their lives for our freedom," unquote. American Airlines has announced the closing of its overhaul facility in Platte County, Missouri. The operation, which is near Kansas City, was once the largest of its kind in the world, employing 6,000 workers when it was owned by TWA. On Friday, American explained it will disperse about half the remaining 450 employees to other plants. 200 will take an early retirement buyout package. KWCH-TV reports that American is shifting about 85 workers to a new overhaul facility in Dallas-Fort Worth. The remainder will be assigned to positions in St. Louis and Tulsa. American says the reason is simple economics. It's flying about 400 fewer airplanes now than in the recent past. Two smaller companies will still have a presence in the facility. Jet Midwest has signed an agreement to move in as American pulls out. Frontier Airlines also has maintenance work done at the plant. Brazilian regulators have approved retrofit installation of Avadyne's DFC-90 attitude-based digital autopilot in Brazilian-registered Cirrus aircraft with Integra panels. Avadyne COO Patrick Hergeth says the Brazilian market for his company's products is growing. Quote, "This ANAC certification allows our customers to take advantage of the performance and safety enhancements of the DFC-90 retrofit," unquote. Avadyne CEO Dan Schwinn adds, quote, "Avadyne is committed to continuously enhancing safety for all of our customers, and we are pleased to make the DFC-90 retrofit available for our Brazilian Integra owners," unquote. Still ahead, Commercial Space says, don't leave us guessing. Ray LaHood touts his agency's safety culture. And DOT fines United for being too honest. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, September 29th. I'm Paul Plack. The Commercial Spaceflight Federation said in a news release Monday that it strongly supports Senate Bill 3729, the NASA Authorization Act of 2010, which has been approved unanimously by the Senate. The Federation urges the U.S. House to pass the Senate bill immediately, before the new fiscal year begins on October 1st. Federation President Bretton Alexander commented, quote, "With a new fiscal year about to begin, space industry businesses and individual space workers can't afford more months of ongoing uncertainty. They need to know what future to plan for. A protracted stalemate over the NASA authorization bill would likely cause continued layoffs and would make it more difficult for commercial companies to ramp up hiring. We cannot afford to delay the creation of new jobs, and the Senate bill, which we support, could be on the president's desk before the end of the week. The only way to avoid months of limbo for NASA is for prompt resolution by Congress before the new fiscal year begins, and the Commercial Spaceflight Federation urges a speedy resolution to this process," unquote. Is it just me, or is it odd that NASA reauthorization could get done by the end of the week, and FAA reauthorization takes years? When an aviation accident prompts an investigation by the National Transportation Safety Board, it sometimes results in safety recommendations to the DOT or FAA. Those recommendations are made by NTSB without any regard to cost, and because the FAA is required to consider the costs it imposes on the public, some NTSB recommendations don't get done right away. The NTSB responds by pressuring the FAA with its most wanted list, and the current chairman, Deborah Herzman, has been especially willing to bring political heat to prod the FAA into imposing new regulations. It's one of the few cases in which the impenetrable bureaucracy at the FAA may actually benefit pilots. If FAA moved quickly on everything NTSB hands down, we'd be having accidents by now caused by placards limiting visibility. But to a general public which doesn't understand the unintended consequences, any regulation made in the name of safety sounds appealing. With the congressional election looming in a little over a month and the federal fiscal year ending tomorrow, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood is seizing the opportunity to point out that in fiscal 2010, the DOT implemented 92 NTSB safety recommendations, more than in any of the previous 5 years. Over that period, the average was 56 per year. Quote, It's no accident that our roads, rails, and skies are safer than ever for travelers. From the outset, safety has been my number one priority at the Department of Transportation. And every day, tens of thousands of dedicated safety professionals at DOT are working to make transportation even safer, unquote. Call me a cynic, but I want to see next year's numbers before I call this a trend. And finally today, United Airlines has reportedly been assessed a $12,000 penalty over a long weather-related ground delay in May. But the fine is not for violating the DOT's three-hour rule. Instead, United has been slapped for self-reporting a violation when in fact it had offered the passengers the opportunity to deplane before the three-hour limit was reached, according to USA Today. The fine is literally for wasting the DOT's time to investigate a non-violation. The Chicago Tribune cites a consent order from the DOT stating, quote, United's misreporting of this data wasted valuable department resources, unquote. United says it was just trying to comply with a letter of the law. The Street.com reports United will pay $6,000 up front, but the second half of the fine will be waived as long as the airline doesn't make any more unnecessary reports. So let this be a lesson to you. If there's one thing government bureaus won't stand for, it's waste. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, former AOPA President Phil Boyer comments on the health of general aviation from the perspective of his long summer cross country. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.